Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The debate continued through the 2 minutes over the pizza tattoo.
I think you actually started to think it over.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
with the benefit of some time, I think I've convinced you to get a small pizza tattoo in the lower portion of your back, and you get free pizza the rest of your life.
See, now I'm like Ryan Pace. I can be convinced and bullied a little bit here. Gary and McHenry, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Sylvie. How's it going, man?
Hanging in there. It's been a little bit of a rough ride today.
Hey, hands down, I would get a pizza tattoo on my back.
Pizza for a year?
For life.
Pizza for a year. I mean,
wow. You lowered the bar.
The only person who's going to see it is some people out at the pool or maybe my wife.
Gary, I mean, why would you negotiate against yourself there? I was offering pizza for life, and you just said I'll take it for a year.
Okay, pizza for life. I changed my mind.
Okay.
I would also get a Smokin' Jay tattoo on my shoulder.
Just because, out of love? Why don't you do that then?
I might. I just might. I do have a Gary the Snail tattoo on my forearm.
Was it because you're slow?
Yeah.
Waddle should get one, too.
Gary, are you celebrating 420 today? It sounds like it.
I wish I could.
Okay. Do you plan on later?
No.
No, okay.
Because of employment, I cannot.
I got you. Yeah, hey, see? Listen, all good. Just checking.
It's still against the rules, then. It may be legal, but it's still against the rules, it sounds like.
Mr. Abdallah, please urinate in this cup for testing.
You first. Thanks, Gary. There's Gary. 332-3776 is our phone number. A couple of, some good random stuff here, too. The Bulls won last night.
Second win in a row.
It was one of their better wins in a long time, right? I mean, beating the Celtics.
They had Brown, they had Tatum, but they didn't have some of their other players, right?
But the Bulls don't have Zach LaVine.
That's true.
And then now are you starting to look at the Bulls closely without Zach LaVine and saying, the defense is better?
Yeah, but that may be true because if you take Zach off the floor, you can replace him with a better defender, but offensively you're not going to be as good. And I believe over the course of a larger sample time or a sample size, it will be more bad than good. That's how I look.
Him and Vooch just have to get on the same page,
well,
right?
Well, neither one plays solid defense.
Well, right. I'm just talking about chemistry as a whole. They still don't know how to really play well together, do they?
I mean, look.
You didn't have a camp together.
No, I mean, it'd take some time. Did you like what you saw from Kobe White last night?
I mean, look, if you like 5-for-14 shooting, Kobe White had a great night last night. A lot of people, he had 19 points. He didn't play poorly, but again, Kobe White is supposed to be the shooter, but he doesn't shoot it.
That's a problem.
That was, right, one of the better games for Kobe White. 19, is that what he had?
They needed him because Zach wasn't there.
And so one of his better nights is 5-for-14, 5-for-15?
Yeah, I mean, the shooting, the accuracy is not going to overly impress you, for sure.
So that's why, it's better. It looked like he went to the hoop a couple of times when they needed baskets, which was nice to see.
They got some stops as well. I mean, this was the second consecutive win where they held the opponent to less than 100. Who'd they beat on Saturday? Cleveland?
Yeah, that was easy one.
Listen, they've been a better team defensively without Zach. Are they a better team overall without him? I'm not there.
Well, then that's where the equation goes in, that Zach's entering his final year. He wants to test free agency. He may leave you. You're better. I'm a Zach fan. I'm still saying no.
I want him in the fold.
I'm willing to pay him, but it is all still food for thought. I think this is there is a ton of work for AK to do this offseason.
I agree.
Ton of work. Like, what are you going to get? How are you going to get your point guard? What are you going to do with Kobe White? You keeping him? Like, this Thaddeus Johnson stuff is, Like, we're going to roll our eyes in 2 years thinking that we had to hold on the Bulls to Thad.
Well, I mean, listen, he's a solid player. He's had a great year. What that equates to is...
What does that get you?
Look, the question to me is now, are you sitting on your couch, okay? Are you sitting on your couch hoping the team wins or loses? Like,
I was mixed last night. I didn't know. I was kind of in. I even texted the group saying, are we rooting for them to blow this? And because the only really game changer in all this, Zach's not playing, is that they win a top four lottery pick.
Correct, which is you know, the odds are against you there.
Like, you want to be 9 or 10?
Yeah, I don't sit around thinking this team can do really anything in the postseason. So for me, like, I'm not outwardly sitting on my couch cheering for them to lose. I would just put it this way.
Don't mind it.
It doesn't. I'm not consumed by it.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting there cheering for them to win. I'm not sitting there cheering for them to lose. At this point, I'm kind of numb to the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it was also did you send this to us, Abdallah, a little earlier, Waddle? Was that you? That the Lori Lightfoot quote about fans being back at the United Center soon. She said that today at one of her press conferences.
Yes. What do we have for the Bulls? What, 7 home games left?
Yeah, they have 17 games left, 7 of them at home.
Right. So I don't know. Did she talk about capacity?
No, she didn't mention capacity or anything, but I did note that they were asked about the mask mandate and outdoor masks and all that kind of stuff. They said they're not getting rid of any of that. And if more people get vaccinated, but cases are still starting to go up because more people are still going out and doing things, like Illinois paused and Chicago paused reopening to the next level because cases were going back up. So maybe in like a month, but there's also only about a month left of the season.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, now all of a sudden we're close. We're really close, but there's 7 games left for the Bulls at home.
She should have said make the playoffs first, then we'll talk about it.
Like, do you think, are the Bulls in the business, are they willing to open up even if it's just 2 or 3 games?
Well, I mean, here's the revenue? Like, oh, yeah.
Well, but wait a second. It's the same decision they have to make that the Cubs had to make.
Like, what's the break-even point?
What's the break-even point in terms of people? Remember now, people going to Wrigley, it's an outside venue. Mm-hmm. People are probably at this point still more willing to go to Wrigley than they would be at the United Center. I think there would be plenty of people that would be willing to go and watch the Bulls.
Abdallah, the average cost of a 100-level ticket is probably $150, $175. For 100-level hockey and basketball, I think they're pretty similar. Will season ticket holders and will ticket holders, especially if you're a Bulls fan, are you willing to shell out 4 tickets at $150 per to just see the Bulls play out their last game or two?
Well, and at that point, will they be officially eliminated from the playoffs? Will they still be fighting for one of these play-in spots for the play-in tournament? Like, they've got 2 easy games left, and then the rest are against playoff teams.
Right. Like, that's why I don't know if I think a lot of the Bulls ticket holders would probably be more for just, hey, call it a year.
Yeah.
And then next year I'll look to see what they do in the offseason. And then I'll decide if I want to renew my tickets. But do you really want in April when they just, for the last couple of home games, allow fans in the stands?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they'll decide, but my guess is it's going to be a harder decision for the organization to make than you would think.
Yeah. Also, did you see Jesse Rogers' story? Jesse Rogers is his story on the Cubs. It's a must read. It is the top story right now on ESPN.com on the national site. And what he did was he asked a bunch of pitchers who have pitched against the Cubs and scouts who have scouted the Cubs about why they don't hit.
The first 3 sentences of his article, mind-boggling, a mystery, it's hard to figure.
Right, that's the lead right there. Says, this is a quote from one AL Central scout. It's almost mind-boggling. There's too much talent on that whole damn Cubs team. No one can figure it out. I've talked to a bunch of guys and other scouts. And then, like, Jesse gave you the stats about this team doesn't hit fastballs from 2016 to 2018, all right? Their glory years, the combination of Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant hit 307 with a 559 slugging percentage against fastballs. So really good numbers against fastballs. But the numbers have steadily dropped since that, culminating in a 235 batting average and just a 419 slugging percentage over the last 75 games. As a team, the Cubs have an MLB worst 230 batting average and are slugging just 414 off fastballs in that time frame. Why can't the Cubs hit fastballs? They go on in this article to say it's not their bat speed, that it's not a matter of these guys slowing down, that they still have really good bat speed. I don't know if their approach has changed. Are they scouting teams differently?
Has everyone got that uppercut swing still?
They did then, though, too. I mean, so is this just the pitchers have adjusted and they haven't?
Or can you not bang the garbage can lids because there's nobody in the stands and you can hear it?
Like, Yurko said that out. Like, were they doing something at Wrigley?
That's not where I would go with this. Where I would go with it is that they're very easy to game plan for. I said that last week. Like, if you throw a strike to Javi Baez, shame on you. Shame on you. Like, because if you miss on a pitch, he's got the ability to hit one out. As I told you, he's on pace for 45 home runs and 130 driven in.
Here's another good quote. It's not a lack of bat speed, one NL East scout said. These guys all have awesome bat speed. It's mental. So, 332-3776. A lot there. We're going to do some 420 at 420. Ooh, coming up.
Yeah, what do you got?
And Mercedes. Mercedes is back in the field for the second day in a row. All that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Sox have left Boston. They're in Cleveland now. We've got the pregame coming up in 10 minutes from right now.
You're going to put some money down on the Sox tonight? You get Rodon coming back to the bump?
What do you expect? I mean, coming off a no-hitter, what do you expect? Plesac had a really rough go the first time against the Sox.
I think Plesac will be better than he was. I find it hard to believe that Rodon is going to throw another no-hitter. But I like where Rodon is. Yeah. If you go back to his first start of the year in Seattle, what do you have? He had double-digit strikeouts in that game, pitched six innings. Expect a good one. Expect a good outing. Maybe not a no-hitter, but I expect a good outing.
The Yerminator is batting fifth, and he is playing first base today. So he made his major league debut in the field yesterday by pitching. It's a great footnote. And on the very next day, he's playing the field for Abreu. Abreu's going to kind of get a day off from the field. Yeah, get him off his feet. Let him just worry about hitting.
Look, he's in a funk right now, and the weather's going to be crappy in Cleveland. Like, I think that later tonight they're expecting some snow flurries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now it's cold there. Like, Abreu historically has struggled early in the season in the bad weather. So, not surprised that he's not. He's going to be the DH, but not going to be in the field.
Right now, Abdallah, it is 4:20 p.m. on 4:20. Is that like, if you make a wish like 11:11, do you get like your pot dreams come true or anything like that?
I don't think I'm going to get a bunch of free weed, so no.
How much is weed? How much does weed cost?
What is the standard price?
It's a legitimate ask.
Why are you selling?
50 to 60 bucks for an eighth, depending on who you know and how you know.
How many joints can I get in an eighth?
Depends on how big you roll and how...
Average. Just let's use standard.
I don't know.
Is the cost of weed less expensive now because of...
It's the same price.
Same price?
I mean, it depends. If you're paying taxes on it, then it's more expensive because you're paying taxes on it. Whereas, like, if you have a medical card like Sylvie and I do, you walk in...
You have a medical card, too?
Yeah. I got a medical card. Doctor said I need
a glaucoma or something.
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy. And so, like,
did you have to grease the doctor, so to speak, to get that diagnosis?
No, you don't have to grease anybody. It's a medical marijuana card. You just go in there, like, why do you need weed? And you're like, my back hurts. They're like, okay.
That's my point. Like, it's so much very easy.
You don't have to grease anybody? What do you mean, grease?
I don't know. Like, you have to convince the doctor. Like, I bet if he put you in an MRI machine, there wouldn't be any evidence that you have a back problem.
There would be, because I did go into an MRI machine for my back.
Okay, then I'm wrong. I apologize for making that.
Had a couple cortisone shots back there.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
So good. You got a weed card.
How is weed most consumed these days?
Smoked.
It is still.
Oh,
yeah. You think so? Even
yeah.
with
oh,
the
yeah.
with because all the gummies quicker. Being made, all oh, the yeah. edibles, it's still smoking.
Smoked.
Listen, we are.
Yes.
We are
I want to see how that breaks down.
We are a society that wants what we want. We want it now. So, wouldn't you think that if the easiest way to get high, the quickest way to get high, is to smoke, right? As opposed to eat the gummy. So most people are going to smoke. I would
but you still have well, smoke in your lungs, though, and a lot yeah. of people can't do that, and you can now get it in many different forms.
That was the big thing, like, when weed was first becoming legal, and, you know, it was legal in California, and everybody was like, oh, it'd be great to be legal everywhere, because if you're a cancer patient, then you can eat it, and, it's, you know, it builds your appetite, and it can help with glaucoma. Like, that was the whole thing when it was starting to become more mainstream. But now with vapes and with all this kind of stuff that you have, like, everybody can have a pen and it's nothing. You can just keep it in your pocket and just walk around like it's nothing. And but like, or you can still, some people are still purists and they still want the actual plant and they like breaking it down and they like, you know, it's more of a ritual than anything for some people.
Right. You don't like the ritual aspect.
My buddy Jason wanted to be a guest on today's show, 420 at 420.
Does he love
weed? He is a weed connoisseur. Like, he's educated me a little bit. He knows his stuff. He's worked for many companies. Someone called in today to Carmen and Yurko. Like, there are these advocates, these health officials who advise people on what to take, on what would benefit them. Try that. I met with one. Where she directed me, said, look, I think you should go to the store and you should get this and this.
I mean, listen, it's being prescribed for medical issues. I would hope that a medical professional could help you with addressing it.
Right. So 332-3776. This Thornhill? Thornhill, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Waddle and Sylvie, first-time caller on ESPN 1000.
Welcome.
Happy 420 to all of you.
Yes, thank you.
Can we call you? Should we call you Thorn or Hill for short?
Thornhill.
Thornhill, okay.
One word.
Okay.
Yep, thank you. So, the Cubs in 2016, that was a magical season. I, among with many other people, even down 3-1, thought that the Cubs were still had a really good chance at winning it all because they had swept teams all season long. With timely hitting. And then John Mailey, the hitting coach then, departs from the team afterwards. John Mailey, a Chicagoan, a Hegwisch native.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, how much blame do you think, or how much emphasis does a hitting coach have on the team? I know we talk about approach. Do we think that we can even notice or see the difference between how that team performed under John Mailey and then compared to all the other subsequent hitting coaches?
It is amazing. Like, they got rid of Mailey because they wanted to be more small ball. They wanted more contact. They wanted more less of just home run or nothing. So they hired Chile. Then all the players complained. And they said, that's not our style. That's not what we do best. We slug. We don't hit through the shift or on the other side of the shift. We hit over the shift. And so Chile gets scapegoated. And then now you have Iaposi. Joe Maddon's specialty for many years was hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David Ross was supposed to bring them back to being who they are. It's the players.
Oh, totally. I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
and listen, we had a little bit of, like, I sent you guys a text, and I want to say it was the blowout game against the Red Sox. For everyone screaming about how, look, I get it. It's hard to hit a 94-mile-an-hour fastball in on your hands and go the other direction. But we saw the Red Sox execute going the other way against a shift in that game. I believe their center fielder did
it. Right, yesterday
And then J.D. Martinez did it.
Yeah,
it can be done.
It can be. It's hard. It's really hard.
Of course it is. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done.
What was the stat? Someone brought it up in the IDOT bullpen back there yesterday. Someone said that strikeouts are up. Are strikeouts up again, or is the hitting at a low point ever? The batting average so far through this season.
I believe on Monday I saw a stat that said that the pitchers were absolutely running the show. That collectively, Major League Baseball hitters were hitting like in 230, something like
except
that.
Except for Kyle Hendricks and Lucas Giolito.
Correct, but for the most part, that the pitching is way ahead of the hitting. So far this year.
And I would think, and all the things they've been experimenting with, because this is how I responded to you then, is that this mound being pushed back by a foot Instead of 60 feet 6 inches, it would be 61.6. And they're experimenting with it right now, I think, in the Atlantic League or in one of those non-affiliated leagues. I bet you in within 5 years that's here.
And listen, if the pitching is way ahead of the hitting anyway, my suggestion would be lower the mound or move the mound back. That, to me, would be a better, in my opinion, just my own opinion, that, to me, makes more sense than banning the shift.
It would have less of it. I mean, it would impact pitchers a lot, but, I mean, it would impact the way the game is played the least amount with 1 foot.
Right.
With 1 foot being the adjustment.
So, right, quick question. Name all 7 continents real quick. Just real quick.
That's good.
Just real quick.
So Africa, number one, of course. Asia, number two. Good. Australia, number three.
Yep.
North America, South America, Antarctica, and Europe.
Yes!
There you go. All right.
And Waddle, real quick, what's higher up on the map, North Dakota or South Dakota?
North Dakota.
Okay, good, good, yeah. good. Just making sure the weed I gave you hasn't kicked in yet.
I didn't have any weed. You gave me a couple of Tylenol. Mm-hmm.
See, if anything, I will not get that question. And every time, I am starting with Africa now. It was a huge, colossal mental block, or just the fact that I didn't pay attention in school.
It had nothing to do with that. It's about being on the spot and getting outside your comfort zone. We're not talking about batting averages. We're talking about other things.
All right, so we've got Sox baseball coming up. It should be a lot of fun to hear what Rodon does. Connor McKnight has your pregame show. Lennon DJ on the call. Sox and Indians coming up in just seconds. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a fantastic Tuesday evening.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.